first of all, to those very generous pledges and folks who gave to the show and to KPFT to keep us on the air. We appreciate every little bit that folks can do. And however little or however much you can do, we know that these times are not recovering, as some folks say. Not all folks are recovering as quickly. But we do appreciate all of that support. And also, just remember to keep after us. There's lots of other great things to tune into. Voices at Work, following our show, The Prison Show, and then Laura Palooza starting at 11.
And, of course, that's just the little bit of what's to come in terms of the great shows we get to share air with on every Friday night. And shows on Friday and shows throughout the week, we are able to bring you grassroots coverage of news and events here at the Indie Media Show, Voices at Work, those same grassroots news shows and analysis specifically from the workers' perspective, and, of course, The Prison Show with regard to those that are currently incarcerated and formerly incarcerated and the many issues that go around the Texas prison industrial complex. But in order for us to continue to be able to bring you that kind of coverage, we really need people to pick up the phone, 713-JAM-KPFT, 713-526-5738. For those of you listening out in cyberspace, of course, kpft.org, click that tip jar. And if you are particular to our show, which we hope some of you out there are, then please indicate when you make the pledge put your money towards the Houston Indie Media Show. And once again, of course, for those of you that might be driving around, we are located on Lovett Boulevard in the heart of the Montrose, and we also take walk-in pledges.
Yeah, in addition to the walk-in pledges, obviously that's a good thing, but maybe you could talk a little bit, Rich, about the different ways that folks can, that you know, can make that pledge.
Well, you can do a one-time donation, of course, to be a voting member at KPFT, which means you get to vote for the board that makes decisions that impact the station and the shows that you're able to hear. You become a voting member for just $35, and you can also do pledges over the course of a little bit a month, $5 a month, $10 a month. That, of course, helps keep us on the air as well. So for pretty much what you pay for a cup of coffee and a donut or a bagel on your way to work, you can also pay to help keep community radio alive. Of course, KPFT is unique. We are one of the stations under the Pacifica umbrella. We are the only station in the southern United States. And we really need to treasure and value this resource because we don't exist anywhere else south of the Mason-Dixon line, only right here at 90.1 KPFT.
Well, and really, when we talk about how few of these stations like ours are in existence, and we are the fourth largest city in the United States with a diversity that really mirrors what the entire United States is going to be looking like in the next few decades. And so really, as a lot of sociologists say, we are we are the future culturally and demographically. We're the future of the United States, and so this station more than ever is important because of that, because the views and the topics and, you know, the level and the scope of the reporting, the music, the entertainment, the social issues that are discussed on not just our show but on the station in general is somewhere you're not going to get anywhere else. And so yes, you know, listen to these other clear channel stations with their pre-programmed playlists. You're not going to hear what you hear on those stations, and you certainly are rarely going to hear a repeat of music, of topics, of people. And if we do have folks back, it's because there's a story there and not because somebody in some boardroom decided that it was necessary for us to play something like that. And I heard the ladies this afternoon talking on Radioactive about how she bought two packs of gum, and that was about $3-4, and she realized, wow, for $3 or $4, I can give that pledge. So if you buy one pack of gum a month, you can do that, and you can become a member, because it's $3.34 a month to do the minimum pledge and just give $3.34 a month for 12 months. And that gives you, like Rachel mentioned, voting rights. It gives you a voice. What other station can you listen to, television or radio, do you tune into that you have that kind of power for so little? 713-526-5738.
And, of course, speaking about some of the stories we cover tonight, of course, we have, as the school year winds down, the state of Texas has introduced a new standardized test called the STAR. There are a bunch of questions and unknowns about that current assessment that students just took. And a growing number of districts, most recently Houston Independent School District, is getting on board with voting for a resolution to limit the misuse and overuse of high-stakes standardized testing. We, right now, with us tonight, we have a group of folks who were very instrumental in pressuring Houston ISD to get on board as one of over 400 school districts. Can you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves and welcome to the show?
Hi, my name is Ruth Kravitz. I'm a parent and a teacher and a member of Community Voices for Public Education.
I am Tanya Vetter, and I'm also a member and supporter of Community Voices Public Education, as well as an educator and a parent. Thanks for having us.
Hi, my name is Jefferson Sanchez, and I'm a junior student at Sharpton High School.
Okay, well, thank you all for being here. Now, in terms of the vote that was passed last week, with the school board being the latest across the state to endorse limiting of high-stakes testing, does that endorsement carry any weight, or is it more just a symbolic action?
Well, we think it is, to some extent, that remains to be seen. But we think that since the largest school district in the state of Texas signed on to this resolution, that 473 other school districts in the state have signed in the last month and a half, that represents 2.7 million students in the state, which is over half the students, that this is a clear step in the right direction. And the whole point is to get the legislatures to realize that they're spending the money inappropriately, and they're spending too much money on testing and not enough money on children's lives. So we're fairly excited.
And isn't it hypocritical, though, for the school board in Houston ISD to endorse this proposal to limit the overuse and misuse of standardized testing the same week that they were administering the Stanford 10 and Apprenda 3 exam, which are other standardized tests that only Houston ISD administers in the greater Houston area?
Well, there's no better time to get people to start rethinking testing than in the middle of a testing frenzy. And this is the year when parents all over the state have finally realized that with benchmarking and STAR testing and STAR practice tests and pre-tests and post-tests, that perhaps up to 60%, 60 days out of a 180-day school year, kids are doing some sort of testing, and that's not what they want for their kids. So it's a good time. And HISD doesn't determine the standardized tests in the state of Texas. The state of Texas does, but HISD has a powerful role in deciding whether or not to have extensive extra testing. So they could choose to stop Stanford testing because all the other school districts in the greater Houston area are not using the Stanford anymore, and they could choose to not force quite as much benchmarking so students could spend more time learning things and becoming college ready.
And, of course, how do you, looking at another aspect, is the fact that next year Houston ISD School Board is approved at a previous meeting to tie the results from standardized tests like STAR and like the Stanford Apprenda tests to teachers' performance ratings. How do you feel about that?
Well, I thought we could have Jefferson talk for a second about what he thinks a quality teacher is, and then we could respond to what we think an alternative model might be.
I think that a quality teacher really shouldn't be judged based on scores, because a lot of times we have great teachers who teach great lessons, but yet the students can't get to pass a benchmark or the test that is given to them. For example, I was given a test and I missed, I was about to get commended, but I didn't get commended because of one question. Therefore, I got put into toys for like an entire week, which was really stressing. And I think my teacher did a great job at teaching me all these things, but I really didn't get some of the things. So I really think that teachers shouldn't be judged based on scores from a standardized test.
I think we also have to look at that scores have been shown to fluctuate wildly from year to year for the same teacher. So, nevertheless, a student in the third or fifth grade scores may be stronger one year than in their previous year, or even for the following year, maybe in middle school or high school. And who's to say that that teacher is not a good teacher, given that it may be other factors that affect it, such as problems in the home or family issues or economical issues, loss of jobs. Those things definitely determine how well a student is successful in class on one period or another. So the fact that it's been demonstrated to have a great effect on test scores are not within a teacher's control. Those factors are beyond their control. So, I mean, it's a conflict of interest to tie a teacher's salary to a standardized test because it influences teachers to teach to the test, which in turn shortchanges the students. Student loses with that.
713-526-5738.
And, of course, when you're talking about, you know, a lot of the other factors in terms of home environments, race, class, all of those things that may impact a student's ability to perform, if we're not going to use standardized tests to measure teacher effectiveness and student growth, what alternative measures would you like to see?
Well, I think it's not as much that we shouldn't use one measure over another. It's how much we weighted. So the National Education Policy Center recently came out with a report that said, Houston, we have a problem. And the report essentially said that the measures that HIC is using, EVOS and value-added measures to determine which teachers are high quality and which teachers aren't, are problematic measures because a teacher teaching the same student population one year to the next, teaching the same subject, could one year on these ratings using test scores be shown as a highly ineffective teacher, and the next year would be shown as a highly effective teacher. If we were to think of an extreme case, you have a classroom with 25 kids, and one year all 25 of those kids have two moms, have a mom and a dad, they have a solid working class home, everybody has lights, nobody's incarcerated, nobody has cancer, nobody's sick, and the students take a test at the end of the year on one day, and they perform a certain way. Very next year, that same teacher, equally good, equally competent, equally loving of children, equally vested, equally committed, has 25 new students, half of which have only one parent in the home, half of whom have an incarcerated parent, half of whom have a parent who's dying or a friend or a relative dying of cancer, some of whom have no life. And those students are going to underperform on a similar test, and the teachers relative quality hasn't changed, but the student population has changed. The teacher hasn't chosen not to teach the students. The students are simply different. And I know this is an extreme case, but I think this is the reason why test scores need to be considered as a percentage of using other factors as well. So we're actually, as a group, trying in our next campaign to help the school board realize that their decision to make test scores count 50% of a teacher's rating may be too high, that they should revisit that and consider a lower weight.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. At this point, we're going to cut right back to that. But in order to keep bringing you coverage like this latest issue surrounding standardized tests and more school districts questioning the overuse of standardized tests, we need to get the phone lines fired up. That's 713-526-5738. We are joined by another member of our collective that just walked in the studio. Actually, two members. We have Venetia and Nick. Nick, why don't you go ahead maybe and bring up some other good talking points to try to inspire the people listening in cyberspace or in their cars or wherever they may be to pick up the phone.
Well, you know, this is a very, when you're up against political struggles and all kinds of things like that, we need KPFT to tell the other side of the story. That, and if it's a situation where very often it's very easy to kind of diminish the power of political struggle financially because they just can nickel and dime you, you know, that it's just like I've been in the struggle against this feeding ordinance. They're not going to come and drag us off hollering and screaming. They're just going to write another ticket. You know, it's just these one at a time. It's these financial challenges are often what can take activists out. It's a lot easier easier than throwing them in jail or whatever. So just in the same way, KPFT relies on this money. So give us a call at 713-526-5738 because if you know, the at a certain point, like, you know, when a voice has been silenced or whatever, then you kind of look back and realize, oh man, we needed to keep that going. And you know, all of the necessary struggles that are going on in Houston, this is the hub for them. This is the hub for people to talk about the issues and the struggles and the ways in which they're organizing. And it costs money. And you know, and in hard financial times, you know, we rely on the listeners all the more. You know.
713-526-5738. And Venetia out there, you have some premiums to tell our listeners about.
Okay, so if you can pay the $100 premium today, we can give you a pair of tickets for Ramblin' Jack Elliott at the Do-Si-Do Acoustic Cafe. If you can go above that to $150, we can give you a pair of tickets this month to see Grand Prayer at the Do-Si-Do Cafe. For $250, we can give you a pair of tickets to see Kinky Friedman, also at the Do-Si-Do Acoustic Cafe. And here's a really good one. For $365 premium, which is a dollar a day, you can get 2 3-day passes to the Rockport Music Fest. And that's not all. You also get 2 KPFT tees and also 2 KPFT totes, and that's for a $365 premium, which is a dollar a day.
And those totes are really great. They allow people, you know, wherever you are, of course, we're all trying to be more conscious in terms of using less paper and less plastic. Those totes you take to the grocery store, you take wherever you need to go, and then you can rock out with your KPFT tote and also be a little greener. That's 713-526-5738. Out in Pledge Central, it's sounding pretty quiet. We definitely need to keep the volunteers. They're fed, they're watered, they're anxious and eager, ready to take your pledges.
Well, actually, we're fed, we're watered, we're eager. We have somebody to thank.
Yay.
And that is Alpa. We'd like to thank her so much for her generous donation.
Thanks, Alpa.
So much.
Thank you very much, Alpa.
Keep it coming.
Is Alpa getting one of those wonderful premiums?
No.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, somebody would if they just called 713-526-5738.
Well, that's even more generous.
And again, that is 513-526-KPFT. We really want people to call
713-526-5738.
Yes.
Where is 513?
I don't even know. That was going to be my next question.
You know what? We just went to, I think we just built another station in the last 3 minutes in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Great.
713-526-5738.
I know.
I'm so busy out here taking all these pledges that we're just getting dizzy. We're just dizzy with excitement. We can't read anymore.
That's really another important thing. We are putting
713-526-5738. KPFT, please call in right away.
We are in these communities, you know, talking about putting up new stations and new relay transmitters. You know, we're in small towns now with these extra transmitters that we have, and that means a lot. Like, I was out driving back to Houston from College Station one night, and the content of the radio that I was able to get out there, you know, it was around 9/11, so it was like the Islamophobia festival on AM talk radio. I mean, the content of the radio that people are exposed to in these smaller towns is just unbelievably low, and to have an alternative like KPFT is just, you know, it can really change the entire, you know, life of a kid who grows up in a community like that, to have a voice like that on the airwaves.
And to go back, of course, we do have our guests on the line. Once again, we are covering the overuse and misuse of standardized testing, and online we have members of Houston CVPE, which is a place where parents, teachers, students, and community members come together to stand up for public education. Now, we were talking about using standardized tests before we had to break for pitching in teacher evaluations. The other way that Houston ISD uses these tests in not only rating teachers, but also in a financial rewards program called Aspire. What would you say is an alternative to Aspire, or how would you reward teachers who are deemed to be effective, whatever that model ultimately is?
Well, I think that there's been copious research that shows that merit-based pay doesn't improve education for children. And ultimately what we want to do is help every single kid have a better and more profoundly positive life
That is the great promise of democracy. I teach in an urban school. I've been teaching in that school since 1989. Some of my students have gone to Princeton and Columbia. And I think if you talk to them, what they would say is they want a reward system that gets the best teachers into school. And I think Jefferson had a really good insight about a way to determine what constitutes a quality teacher that isn't based on test scores.
Well, to be honest, a teacher who is good shouldn't be judged on this course of a student. Other than that, I think that by the third day, you can realize if you have a good teacher or not. I've had teachers who I still talk to since middle school. They were great teachers. They taught me great lessons, and they didn't spend most of their time teaching me how to pass a test. Rather than that, they spent their time telling me what life was or how college was going to be. And a standardized test really doesn't teach any student how college will be or doesn't get them ready at all for that.
So I think what we're all saying is we need a paradigm shift, that the word failing school weren't even in our lexicon in 2002. And the truth is all the NAEP scores and international measures show that we do a pretty good job in this country with middle class and upper middle class kids. And where we suffer is with poorer students. And it's not because all the teachers in the schools that are impoverished are bad, but because we separate what happens in the school from what happens around the school. There are food deserts where there aren't even any grocery stores in a 3- and 4-mile radius of the school. This negatively impacts things. We need to recognize that in the 50s, we built freeways around poor communities, and perhaps in the 21st century, we need to build roads, libraries, grocery stores, neighborhood centers, and other things inside those neighborhoods that we surrounded by freeways.
713-526-5738.
And looking at the issue of standardized tests, of course, in many ways, Texas is the birthplace of standardized tests. We've had TABS, TOS, TAX, and now the latest incarnation, STAR. What are some of the differences, though, with the STAR tests that have kind of led to this increased number of school districts coming out against standardized tests?
The biggest difference is the number of tests. With TOS and TAC, with TOS, the kids finish the test, at least at the high school level, in 10th grade. So after 10th grade, you were free to ensure that the kids got exposed to as profound a curriculum as they could be exposed to before college. With TAC, that got pushed back to the end of junior year. There are 12 tests a kid took. But they only had a pass 4. With STAR, there are 15 tests, and for this year's group of incoming ninth graders, of whom one is my daughter, they will have to pass 15 tests to graduate from high school. And we run the risk of turning our schools into testing factories. And since there are opportunity costs associated with that, it costs money to make the test. Pearson is making $500 million over the next 5 years. Perhaps we need to revisit that. Perhaps parents, students, and teachers need to write their legislators, think about who they're voting for in the next legislative cycle with the primary races coming up very soon, and help our state legislator realize that they went in the wrong direction and that we need to test not 15 times to graduate high school, but less.
And this will be my last question because we are unfortunately running out of time. You brought up Pearson. In a lot of ways, Pearson is kind of like the Halliburton of public education. Can you talk a little more about Pearson for some of our listeners who maybe aren't as aware of the way public education works in the state of Texas?
Pearson originally was a book publisher, and they made books, some of which were really wonderful, mostly textbooks. They went into the test-making business some years ago. They are the organization that gets the money for the Stanford test, the test that helps parents determine what reading level their kid is at, the low-stakes test that we used to have. They are now the test. They write and grade the TAC. They write and grade the STAR, and they are now producing study materials for these tests
So it's essentially a wondrous monopoly for them and a problem for the rest of us. Because if the money is going in that direction, it's not going into individualized support services for kids.
713-526-5738.
Okay. Yes, thank you. And for listeners out there that want to learn more or get involved in this organization, the email address is HoustonCVPE@gmail.com. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, real quick, before we sign off for the evening, we've got someone that is willing to cover half of the $90 pledge for the KPFT studio sessions, which is an MP3. 3 CD, 57 tracks set, 21.7 hours.
That is a lot of tracks on
these. Are a lot of tracks. These were all done here in the station by guest or interviews. Normally on every other show, they're $90. But we can offer two of those for $45 each.
So we're just short and we're just about running out of time, but we are right at meeting our goal. So come on, pick up that phone, 713-526-5738. $45, you get, and we are willing to match the other $45. You get a wonderful set that has way too many tracks that we can even, you know, name, but, you know, wonderful folks like Terry Hendricks and Lloyd Maines and Tony Vega, Tom Russell, Lisa Morales, Leo Trio, Patti Smith.
Free These Radicals are on there, too.
There are our very own Free Radicals.
Yeah,
this
we're on
is
there
a wonderful
twice.
Set.
We squeezed on there. We had to get on there twice. So once with just us and once with some rappers from HISD joining us.
So 713-526-5738. Even if you just miss us, you know, short of us closing out here, please let them know that you're donating for the Houston Indie Media Show. $45 makes you a new member, gets you a wonderful gift, and puts us at our goal and keeps us on the air for just a little bit longer.
And out here in Plaza Central,
I do have one other person to thank.
We do have somebody to thank.
Yay.
We want to thank Nick. We wanted to make sure that we thank him before you guys get off the air.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
Well, let's hope we hear those phones ringing as we're on our way out again. 713-526-5738. Give us a call.
KPFT.org. Click that tip jar. Make sure that you note your pledge to us here at the Houston Indie Media Show. We are signing off, making way for Voices at Work. Don't hate the media. Be the media. Peace.
Peace.
Not Bombs is an all-volunteer grassroots organization dedicated to nonviolent social change. Food Not Bombs Houston shares free healthy vegan meals to people in need in our community using donated food that would normally go to waste. Food Not Bombs distributes food four times a week in front of the Houston Public Library on McKinney near Smith on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 7 p.m. Food Not Bombs is seeking volunteers to cook, share meals, pick up food, and help clean plates. We accept donations of large cooking pots, reusable plates, bowls, utensils, and non-perishable food such as dry beans, rice, and canned vegetables. If you're interested in volunteering or you'd like more information, please come out to where we share food. You can find us at facebook.com/HoustonFoodNotBombs or email us at fnbhouston@riseup.net.
If you plan to call today or later this week to renew your membership, please consider increasing your contribution. As you've probably heard in the news, Congress has often considered slashing budgets for public interest services. As a result, federal funding for public radio may be reduced. That funding may even be eliminated. Though only a small percentage of KPFT's budget comes from federal funding, this funding crisis means that your contribution is more important now than ever. Please consider increasing your contribution if you can. Every dollar you contribute will make a big difference in the music and news you've come to appreciate from KPFT. Call 713-526-5738 to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Pledge now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.